Amen. Sons of God, please turn with me. I'll look to Lord's Day 14 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 14, which is found on page 26. And so we continue to focus our attention on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is in regards to his birth. And so we start at the beginning of his life. And so, please respond to the questions of Lord's Day 14. What is the meaning of conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? That the eternal Son of God, who is and continues true and eternal God, took upon himself the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, so that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things except for sin. What benefit do you receive from the holy conception and birth of Christ? That is our mediator. And with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sin wherein I was conceived. Amen. Saints of God, there's a reason why the Apostles' Creed includes that clause that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, there are scholars, even Christians, even certain denominations that take lightly the virgin birth. Well, it's just kind of a symbolic story that we can share on Christmas time. And then, of course, more of the critical scholars are saying, oh, this is just a fairy tale. It's impossible. This can't be taken seriously or literally. And so the reason why we can't accept that is because without the virgin birth, there is no gospel. Every clause of the Apostles' Creed cannot be compromised. It's not just because the Apostles' Creed in and itself says it. That's why we need to believe it. But it's because of what Scripture teaches us of the nature of how we must be redeemed. And so the virgin birth teaches us two fundamental truths about Christ and about our salvation. First, it reveals our Lord's identity as the God-man. And secondly, it reveals how far our sins need to be covered. And so we understand that when we go too deep into this discussion, we can get lost in the weeds of how we can make sense of Christ being God and man at the same time. But this is what the Scriptures teaches. This is what we have to say, how we hold these teachings hand in hand. And so, first of all, the Catechism wants to point out that Christ is the eternal Son of God. So when we celebrate the virgin birth, when we read the virgin birth in the beginning of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, when Christ was born in Bethlehem, it was not just a human being who then became elevated to God-like status later on in his life. What we have to understand is, first, it's the second person of the Trinity that's in Bethlehem. It's the second person of the Trinity who takes on a human nature. And the word taken on is very important language. We can't say transform or he changed forms or he became elevated later. We say that the second person of the Trinity, the God who was and is and is to come, takes on, he adds on to himself a new nature. So he's fully God and fully man. So there's one person, but two natures. God has always been, and he always will be. So that does not change. There's nothing that changes in his divinity on day one in Bethlehem. But then it says he took upon himself the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. And this is, I always find this fascinating language to understand, because it grounds the whole event, right? It's not that God created a meat suit, right? But he was actually a human being. He takes on the flesh of Mary, so that on the day, the first day in Bethlehem, when Christ was born, if you were to take a blood sample, the DNA would have matched Mary's, right? The facial features of that baby would have looked like Mary, you know, and he grew up and, you know, he would have, there would have been some similarities because he was truly coming from Mary, the flesh of Mary. Now, yes, he is fully man, but this is a unique birth. The event is unique altogether. There is nothing like it that has ever happened, nor will ever happen again. And so this birth, yes, means that the God who is and who was and is and is to come has taken on a human nature, but this is only possible by the operation of the Holy Spirit, which Matthew and Luke point out very clearly, that this is only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not some out of the three persons, this is not a random assignment for the Holy Spirit, because when you see in the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. He was present in creation. He completes. He's the one who brings things into completion in the beginning in all creation, but also in redemption. He brings the plan and the execution of the first two persons of the Trinity into completion. So it's actually quite remarkable how the Holy Spirit has that same role from Genesis 1 to Matthew 1 and Luke 1, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who authors, who brings life and makes this possible for the second person of the Trinity to take on a human nature. Now, why does God have to, why does Jesus have to be a baby? I mean, you stop and think about that for a moment. 2,000 years ago, or plus 2,000 years ago, Mary was holding the God of the universe, the one whom her heartbeat, her breath comes from. I mean, why in the world would God go this route? Well, it's not because it was some kind of random off-the-cuff plan of God, and hopefully it worked out. This is something that reveals not only God's eternal design and plan from the beginning, but it also reveals the extent, the radical nature of our salvation, how far our sins needed to be covered. Because that, you know, in this church family, there are two new babies in here, right? And those babies that are they're in the mother's arms, that's not an innocent human being. As cute as they are, they're born in sin. Otherwise, Christ would not have needed to be born sinless. And so the extent of the fall, the extent of our guilt, the extent of our redemption needs to go back not just to the age of accountability, which, by the way, there's nowhere in Scripture about that, nor is it about some figurative or symbolic sins in our place, but all of our sins from birth, that we were all born in sin, Psalm 51. And so we needed to be covered from the beginning of our birth to the end, which shows us how radical our salvation is, that Christ, the second person of the Trinity, needed to go through these lengths. He needed to go through this miraculous event to take on a human nature. The one who is not bound by time, the one who is not bound by creation, the one who is creator over all things, has entered into creation by taking on a human nature to redeem sinners like us. I forget who said it. It's probably Spurgeon, because Spurgeon says all kinds of things like this. But we need a savior. We need a ladder, rather. We need a ladder that goes from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. And that illustration is coming from Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. And so the ladder that comes from the top to the bottom means that we need God to come to us. We can't come to God. You read in Genesis 3, after the fall, you see Adam begging God to redeem him. No, he's hiding in a bush. He's running away. God has to come and pursue Adam. In the same way, God has to pursue us as sinners. God has to come and condescend to us. And the greatest event that shows his condescension is his birth. That he was literally a baby in the arms of his mother and yet still held the world together in cohesion. Amazing. But we also needed a ladder that goes from the bottom to the top, because we needed a perfect representative. We needed a sinless representative. And that's why the Holy Spirit needed to be involved, and not through Joseph or through a human father, because a human father in this fallen world carries that same sin that would transfer over to Mary and thus to the baby. And so we would not have a perfect representative. We would not have a perfect Savior. And so the ladder needs to go from the top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top. We need the Lord who comes down to us, but also brings us to himself. And that's what we see in the virgin birth. And we can never, ever compromise on this teaching that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Otherwise, we are all lost. Amen.